Well, let's continue in worship this morning. Take your Bible and open to Matthew chapter 6. We're working our way through the disciples' prayer. This morning we find ourselves in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." So let me read to you the prayer, disciples' prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. "Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So as we return to the disciples' prayer this morning, we are reminded once again that this is a model prayer, that this is a pattern for prayer. And as we pray, first, as we have studied over these past few weeks, we are reminded that we are centered on God and His glory. You have noticed the progression as we have gone through this prayer, and when we pray, we are to be centered on and focused on the glory of God. One of the greatest lessons for any Christian to learn about prayer, as we have seen, is first we go to God and we praise Him and we worship Him. Remember, prayer is all about worship. God comes first, and then, as we see in the progression, ourselves. We need to put God and His glory and His interest ahead of our own. So remember, the first three prayer requests were focused on God. We are to pray for God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. The priority of prayer belongs to God and His glory and His kingdom and His will. And yet, as we come before our Lord, when we come before our Heavenly Father, we have petitions, we have requests, we have desires that we bring before our Heavenly Father. We have needs, we have desires, we have requests that we want to bring to the Lord, and that is, as we see, appropriate and good and right to do so. Jesus teaches us that we should bring our desires, our needs before God, and that we should pray for ourselves in this way. However, when we do pray and when we do bring our petitions and our requests before God, what should we be praying about and what should we be praying for? So as we bring our requests, as we bring our petitions, we will see through this progression that we are to pray for God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We are to pray that the Lord would forgive us of our sin. We are to pray for His protection. Deliver us from evil. So we may bring a lot of requests. We may bring a lot of petitions before the Lord. We may pray a lot of other things when we pray. But Jesus instructs us and teaches us to focus on God's provision, God's pardon, and God's protection. God's provision, give us this day our daily bread. God's pardon, forgive us our sins. God's protection, deliver us from evil. So these three requests, these three petitions, cover all of our physical and spiritual needs. We are to pray for our physical needs, and we are to pray for our spiritual needs. So when we pray, when we go before the Lord, we focus first again on God and His glory and His kingdom and His will. And then as we pray for ourselves, we are to focus on our physical and spiritual needs. Now, this does not mean as we pray these petitions, as we have these requests, as we focus on what we need, this doesn't mean we set aside God and we set aside His glory. No, God is glorified in this entire prayer. As God meets our needs, He's glorified. As God forgives our sins, He's glorified. As God protects us from evil, He is glorified. Now, as we begin to pray for our needs, notice in the progression, we start with our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And you may be thinking, well, why does the Lord start with our physical needs and then move on to our spiritual needs? It would seem that the spiritual needs would come first. So why do we first focus on and pray about our physical needs? Martin Lloyd-Jones gives us the answer. He wrote this, "Clearly, the first thing that is necessary is that we must be enabled to continue our existence in this world. We are alive and we must be kept alive. The very fact of my existence and being are involved. So the first petition deals with the needs of our physical frame." And our Lord starts with that. He then goes on to deal with the need of cleansing from the defilement of guilt and sin. And lastly, with the need for being kept from sin and its power. That is the true way to look at man's life. I am alive, and I must be kept alive. But then I am conscious of guilt and unworthiness and feel the need to be cleansed from that. Then I think of the future and realize that I need to be delivered from certain things that face me there. The sum of it all is that ultimately there is nothing in the whole realm of Scripture which so plainly shows us our entire dependence upon God as does this prayer, and especially these three petitions. And that's what I want you to think about as we go through these three specific petitions, is that we are to be utterly dependent on God each and every day. So he concludes with this, "The only thing that really matters for us is that we know God as our Father. If we only knew God like this, our problems would be solved already, and we would realize our utter dependence upon him and go to him daily as children to their Father." End quote. So as we study this specific petition this morning, I hope that you will see your need to go to God daily because of how much we must depend on him each and every day. Now, I know and I understand that this prayer request, "Give us this day our daily bread," may seem irrelevant. It might not even seem necessary to you. I mean, why should we pray for our daily bread when we have so much of it? Is it really necessary to pray this prayer? Now listen to this. I looked this up this week. This is according to one source. The average American consumes about 1 ton of food per year. Now, I'm not included in that statistic. I eat like a mouse. But for some of you, for probably most of you, this is true. You eat about 1 ton of food per year. Now, the reason I don't really eat as much is simply because I just eat to live. That's it. Now, Katie, on the other hand, she lives to eat. Amen. Now, this is incredible to me. Now I'm going down this, you know, rabbit trail. We really don't need to go down this time, but it's incredible to me. This weekend, or this past few days, we were traveling to Knoebels and spending a few days there. And we were going out to eat, and we went to the same place that we went last year. And she remembered what she had last year. And she goes, "I cannot wait for those sweet potato fries." How do you remember those things? I don't remember what I had 2 days ago, let alone last year. So we eat a lot. By the way, of that 1 ton, the average American eats 20 to 30 pounds of junk food. We also spend a lot of money on food, and you would understand that since they keep increasing the prices on food. Last year, 2023, The total food spending was $2.6 trillion. Over half of that money was spent on food away from home, going out to eat. Americans also waste a lot of food. Total in America, 60 million tons of edible food are wasted and thrown out each year, totaling $218 billion. And this waste makes up about 22% of municipal solid waste in the United States. So why are we praying for our daily bread? Why should we, when we have so much of it, so much of what we need, an overabundance of it? Does this request apply to us this morning? And I hope to show you that it does. It's a simple prayer request, but it has significant meaning and application for us who are in Christ and belong to his kingdom. So first, these three petitions, we are to pray for God's provision. As we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for daily provision. Notice that word, bread. It doesn't only refer to food. Bread means we pray for our physical needs, that we pray the Lord would provide us with the basic necessities of life. So we are to pray the Lord would provide food, clothing, shelter, the basic necessities so that we can live. It is all the needs of life. And this is not often prayed enough because most of us in here have what we need and even much more than what we need. It's not too often. We don't have food or clothing or shelter. So we're not motivated, and I would even say, I probably would assume that most of us do not even think about praying for daily provision. But God wants us to, and God desires us to, pray for our physical needs. God desires that we would come to him in humble dependence. He desires that we would pray for our physical provision. This is the first request we are to pray when we pray for ourselves. Lord, I ask and pray that you would provide for my daily needs. And that word daily is debated as to whether it means praying for the bread I need today or the bread I need tomorrow. But the point is that we are to live day by day asking God to provide what we need. So that means first, when we pray for our daily bread, we are to pray that because we are to depend on our Father in heaven every single day of our lives. And because we typically have what we need, and again, usually so much more, we are inclined to be self-sufficient, to rely on ourselves, to rely on our abilities, to rely on our talents, to get our daily provision, to get our basic necessities, and forget about God. We forget it is God who gives us our abilities. It is God who gives us our talents. It is God who gives us our wisdom. It is God who gives to us all of those things to have the jobs that we have, to make the money that we have so that we can buy food and clothing and have a place to live in. And we just simply forget about God in all of this. How often do you praise God and thank God for your talents, for your gifts, for your abilities, for your job, for the money you make, for the clothing you have, for the house you live in? How often do you pray that he continues to provide those things? And how often do you praise him and thank him for providing those things? We take what God gives us and blesses us with for granted. So you and I need to be reminded that everything we have and who we are is a gift from God. Again, the money we make is a gift from God. The talents we have are gifts from God. The abilities we have are gifts from God. So when we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging that it is God who gives and provides us with what we need each day. It's also depending on him to provide and thanking him and giving him the glory when he does provide. We should pray, as the writer of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. That's good to pray. Father, give me only what I need. Provide for me my daily bread, my basic needs, so that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And that's what we do. When we don't ask and we don't pray for God to provide us with our daily bread, the basic necessities, when we don't praise him and thank him for providing those things, we deny him. Who is the Lord? And that is the great temptation for us. We have so much, an overabundance, and because of that, we are tempted to forget the Lord. We are tempted to not give praise to the Lord for what he has provided for us. The writer also prays this way, or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't give me so little that I'm tempted to get means by sinful gain. So here's the prayer. Just give me the basic necessities of life. Give to me what I need. Prosperity gospel preachers don't like that too much. They always tell you to pray for more, 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 more. No, just pray that the Father would take care of your basic daily needs. Pray that every day. Started doing that at home. Not just saying, Lord, thank you for this food. Lord, would you continue to provide this food for us? And we thank you that you have provided it for us. Pray that way because that gives God glory. That's how you glorify God. When you pray for the Father to take care of your needs, you are depending upon him. And as I said, very often we don't pray this way. We only really pray this when we're in need. Maybe there's a crisis in our lives. We lose our job, lost a home, car breaks down, we need a new one. Then all of a sudden, it's rushing right into the throne room, provide this, provide this, provide this, provide this, Father. I remember my close friend, or grew up with, best friend. He came to faith in Christ, and he was involved in a job that he felt wasn't honoring to Christ. So he decided to quit. And he didn't have a job. And so he asked me, he said, what do I do? I mean, how am I going to provide for me and my wife? I said, well, first of all, you need to pray. You need to ask the Father that he would provide for you. Now remember, we don't just sit back and ask God to provide, because as Jay Adams said, and remember I said this before, God is not going to rain bagels from the sky. That's not how it works, typically and usually. Well, he doesn't rain bagels from the sky, but sometimes you get that unexpected check or that unexpected provision. But I said, look, here's what you do. You pray, and then you go look for a job. That's your job. God provides us our daily needs normally through work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Simple. And so he prayed, and then he searched, and then he found a job. So here's the point. Pray for your daily bread. Pray that the Lord would continue to provide the basic necessities of life. Why? Because, once again, this glorifies God. Every time you pray that God would provide what you need, he gets the glory. And when he meets those needs, he is further glorified. So we are to express praise and gratitude to God for what he gives us. Remember Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's the key. Let your requests be made known to God. Do so with thankfulness. So pray for God's daily provision and be thankful that God provides what you need. Second, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it is a recognition and an understanding that God cares for our daily needs. He cares for what we might call the small things in life. This may seem to you like a very meager or small prayer request. And why should I pray for my daily provision? Does God really care about this? It seems so insignificant compared to what else is going on in life and in the world. Why pray for something that doesn't seem to matter that much? And so this should be a great encouragement to you. Remember, we are praying to our Heavenly Father. This is no small request. This is no insignificant request. This is no meager request. God cares for you as his child, and he is delighted to provide all of your needs. He is delighted when you come to him and depend on him. And here I'm just paraphrasing Lloyd-Jones here, but think about it. The creator of the universe, the one who is majestic and holy and transcendent, the one who is high and lifted up, the one who is the Lord Almighty, the one who is the sovereign of the entire universe, the one who sets up kingdoms and brings them down, the one who is ruling and sustaining the universe, cares about your basic daily needs. They are not insignificant to him, because you're not insignificant to him. If you're in Christ, he loves you, he cares for you, and he loves to provide for you. That's what, go back, Father, Father. I think one of the reasons we don't pray for our daily bread, the basic necessities, is because we don't think God really cares much about what we would call trivial matters in our lives. You're thinking, I need to pray for the bigger things, the more significant things. And certainly that's why we start. We pray for God's name. We pray for God's kingdom. We pray for God's will to be done. But God does care about providing your daily needs. Look at chapter 6, verse 25. You're familiar with this, but it's so clear that God cares for us. For this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Of course. Who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. Come to him in prayer. He is eager and willing and ready to meet your needs. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God is not harsh. God is not unloving. He is not unkind. He is not distant. So draw near to God. Go to your heavenly Father. He's willing to give and meet your needs and pour out his love to all those who ask. Now remember, this is only for those who are in Christ. Only for those who have come to Christ by faith. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Knowing that he paid the penalty of sin on the cross. That he died in our place for our sins. Knowing that all of us have rebelled against God, who is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. We deserve his eternal wrath. We deserve his eternal judgment. But if we would come to Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who was raised from the dead for our salvation, and by repentance and faith, trust in Christ alone, this is for you. This is for those who are in the kingdom. This is for those who belong to Christ. This is for those who are his children. He loves you. He cares for you. Luke 12, same thing. Verses 6 and 7, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Wonderful to think about, isn't it? Your heavenly Father is concerned about what may seem like the most insignificant details of your life. I mean, the hairs of your head. Now, for me, that's dwindling day by day. Got the bald spot going in the back. But the point is this, he cares for you and he's concerned about every single detail of your life. I don't know about you, but that should be an immense encouragement to you. So this is why you go to him and you ask him to provide for your daily bread. Third, when we pray for our daily bread, we're praying that we would be content with what God provides. That we would be content with what God provides. So, Father, I pray you provide for my basic daily necessities. We're not praying for bigger homes, fancier cars, more material possessions. The Lord provides, and for most of us here, when he provides, he usually provides much more than what we need. The problem with us is that we are not content with what we have. And we think we need more and more and more. And we're not satisfied. And when we're not satisfied, we crave and have a lust for more. Look, give us this day our daily bread. This is the basic physical necessities of life. This is not any of the luxuries that we may desire. If he chooses to give them, then that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But we're praying that the Father would give us our daily bread, the basic physical necessity, so that we can go out and do his will, which is to serve him in his kingdom. That's what matters. That's what matters. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Instructions for us here, I think, that are so helpful. There's a warning in chapter 6 about loving money and loving possessions. Paul has addressed the false teachers as he writes to Timothy. And of course, false teachers have a love for money. They use religion as a means to abuse people to get their money. And so now Paul is going to warn us as well against loving money and loving possessions. Now, look, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have possessions. That's not the issue. It's not the problem. The issue and the problem is our love for it, for money, for possessions. People, and even Christians, crave money, crave possessions, and it's wanting more and more and more, not being satisfied with what you have. And so many are driven by money and possessions. Look at verse 6 of 1 Timothy. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. So Paul is instructing the church and of course instructing us that godliness, here's what's profitable. Here's what's good. Here's what's noble. Here's what's virtuous. It's godliness. Having more money and more possessions won't make you content. It will never satisfy you. There's nothing noble about that. But here's what you're to do. You're to pursue godliness, holiness, righteousness. This is a means of great spiritual gain when it is accompanied by contentment. So here's the point. Godliness produces contentment. Godliness produces contentment. That's why in Philippians 4, we read it this morning, Paul can say, I am content in whatever circumstances that I'm in. If I have abundance, I can be content. If I don't have much, I can still be content. It's who I am in Christ. That's what matters. So if you're growing in Christ, if you're maturing in Christ by His grace and by His power, then you will be growing in contentment because you realize that you have everything you need in Christ. It is Christ that satisfies you, and when you have Him, you have everything you need. Now, in Philippians 4, Paul said, this is what I've learned. So don't think you'll be an expert on it tomorrow. You learn contentment. But when you are growing and you are maturing in Christ, when you are pursuing godliness, then you'll be pursuing the kingdom of God. You'll be pursuing God's purposes for God's glory. You will have a love for God and not a love for money or possessions. And yet so many are deceived into thinking, if only I had just a little bit more money, then I would be satisfied. Then I would be content. Then I would be happy. But notice verse 7 as a reminder for you. We have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. You didn't bring anything into this world when you were born. And let me just remind you, here's a little news flash this morning. When you die, you're taking nothing with you. Nothing. It is so sad, it is so tragic to see people living for money and possessions, accumulating and accumulating and accumulating, and then they die. And that's it. It's over. And you don't take anything with you. If you're in Christ, don't pursue that which is temporal. Pursue that which is eternal. That's why when we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, be content with what God gives you. Be content with what he provides for you so that you can pursue that which is eternal. You pursue his kingdom for his glory. So look at verse 8. If you have food and clothing, you're to be content. Did you get that? If you have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Again, if you have the basic necessities, be content. What more do you need? And here's the problem, once again, as we think, we're deceived into thinking we need so much more. And when we don't get what we want, we complain about it. Look, again, I'll emphasize this. I'm not saying that you just be poor. The Lord gives you more than the basic necessities. That's fine. That's good. It's not the issue. The issue is when you crave more and desire more and want more. Why? Because you're not content. That's the issue. And I would say most of us here today, it's not true of all of us, but I would say most of us have more than the basic necessities. We have more than we need, and I would also say most of us are not content with what we have. We're to glorify God with whatever he determines to give us. That's the motive. Verse 9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's not wrong, again, to have money or possessions. Look at verse 17. Paul instructs the rich. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present age. Not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Don't be conceited. If you have more than your basic necessities, don't be conceited about that. If you're rich, don't be conceited. Don't look down on others. It's easy to do that. If you have more money and more possessions, you can look down on others and act greater and more superior. He says, don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. You remember the parable of the rich fool? You can look this up later. It's in Luke 12. The rich man had many crops. So many, he didn't have enough room to store them all. And so what did he do? I'm going to build bigger barns. So I have enough room to stockpile and store them all for myself. And so he said to himself, self. That's what he literally said, self. He wasn't full of himself, was he? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'm going to have enough room to store it all. And God said to him, you remember what he said? You fool. You are a fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? And so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Don't worry about possessions here. Back in Matthew 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You get that? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't trust in riches. Be satisfied with what you have and fix your hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. You know that to be true, don't you? God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. God owns everything and he will distribute it as he chooses to. So what do? If you are rich, if you have more than the basic necessities, verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You have money? Good. Be generous. Give it. Meet the needs of others. That's what you do. If you have more than basic necessities, look, you're rich. Did you know that? If you have more than the basic necessities of life, you're rich. We don't think of it that way, but you're rich. If you have more than what you need, don't hoard what you have. Be generous and give. Why? Because of your love for the Lord and your love for others. That's why Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. By what? Your love for one another. This is one way to love one another in the body of Christ. Meet the needs of the people in the body of Christ. You know what that means? Homework assignments. We've done some homework assignments over the past few weeks. Your homework assignment is this: if you have a need, you need to let someone in the church know about it. I know that's not easy. I know that means you have to be vulnerable, but we are the body of Christ. I said to you before, we have a fund dedicated to meeting the needs of people in the church, and I would say since I've been here, rarely do we hear from anybody. And the money just sits there. What are we doing as the body of Christ? I know there are some of you here today who have needs. Your homework assignment is if you have a need, and you can't meet that need right now, to go to a brother or sister in Christ, tell them of that need. Let them meet that need. Because here's the last point I want to make. This prayer is not just individual. This prayer is not to just be prayed individualistically. Would you notice? Give us this day our daily bread. Notice Jesus doesn't say, pray, give me this day my daily bread. Oh, no. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who have needs. And you can be a means to answering the prayer of a brother or sister in Christ who has a need. You can be a means by answering this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, because God can use you to meet the needs of other brothers and sisters in Christ. There'll be times when someone here is struggling. Maybe to make ends meet. Maybe something unexpected happened and you just simply can't meet that need. Please let us know about it. If it's legitimate, we are eager to meet those needs. We want to do that because it glorifies God, and it certainly answers this prayer. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. So here's this one petition. And in this one petition, Jesus is teaching us that we are to be like little children going to our Father, to depend on our Father for daily provision and basic necessity of life. So here's how you're to pray. You're to pray each day that the Father would provide for your basic necessities. We pray this because we are to depend upon our Heavenly Father every single day. We're to pray this because we are to be reminded that our Father cares for us and loves us, delights in us, especially as we come to Him and we ask Him to provide for us. We pray this prayer because we are to be reminded that we are to be content with what the Lord provides for us. And we are to pray this so that we can have our eyes and ears open to other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in this body and even beyond, that we may be able to meet those needs if God has blessed us in that way. So I pray now you see why it's important to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray this so that the Father may be glorified. Father, this morning, we thank you for this petition. We thank you for this request. We thank you for this reminder as we are to come before you each day as children, owing to you, our Heavenly Father, and asking, like a child, that you would provide for us. It's the basic daily necessities. And Father, forgive us for not coming to you daily if we haven't. It's so easy for us not to pray this way because we have so much of what we need, an overabundance. So forgive us for not coming to you. But also, I pray that you help us to see the joy in coming to you. The joy in praying that you would provide for us, and the joy of watching you answer this prayer. And the joy of glorifying you, Father. I pray as well that as we pray this, we would be reminded that you care about everything in our lives. What we may think to us as small or insignificant is not to you. That you care about our needs. Certainly, we are not to pray for those things that we may want. We can pray for things like that, but we're just to pray for the basic daily necessities. But it's a joy, it's a privilege to see how you care for us. And again, what we may think is the small and insignificant details of our lives. And I pray that we're reminded of that each time and each day, that you meet those needs, that we would stop and that we would pray and that we would thank you because of your care and your love for us as your children. Pray as well, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, that we would be content with what we have. I know it's easy to want more things. It's easy to covet what other people have. But Lord, help us not to be covetous. Help us to be satisfied with what we have. But more than that, help us to be satisfied in you. Help us to be satisfied in Christ. Help us to know the joy of being in Christ and being satisfied in Christ. Help us to learn, as Paul did, contentment. Help us to grow in contentment. I know that's not easy. And Father, help us to be vulnerable with one another, to let one another know when we have a need, so that our brothers and sisters in Christ can help to meet those needs. Help us as the body of Christ to open up to one another and to share with each other the needs that we have, and for us to be gracious and generous to meet those needs, because this is how you're glorified and this is how others will know that we are your disciples. So, Father, we thank you for everything you provide. You are so gracious. You are so good. You are so generous. You are so loving. You are so compassionate. So, Father, we thank you and praise you and give you all of the glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.